Welcome to Redefine Beauty. My name is Kristen Bauer, and this is my podcast where I share and offer a new perspective on beauty through the lens of beauty as an internal vibration expressed externally, then witnessed by others. It starts with love and compassion for our bodies, for our lives, and the gift that we are to the world. And hopefully this helps my listeners to connect to the truth of beauty. I felt like I grew up in a reality where beauty was very dependent on what my face, my hair, and my body looked like, and this set me up for failure. I now believe that beauty is an energy. It is our life force that shines from within. It comes through the love that we have for ourselves, these phenomenal bodies that we are gifted. A blemish, a line, a bit of cellulite can never take away from our beauty. When we learn that these marks are messages from our body and respond to our bodies with healing and nurturing, remarkable consciousness begins to blossom. Our beauty doesn't age and it doesn't break down. It gets wiser and more magnificent as we learn and discern our own truths. And when we are clear and share our amazing self, our beauty is a gift to the world and especially those around us. Hi, everyone. I am so excited. Today, I am with my really good friend, Shannon Lewis. She is the co-founder of Everybody, which is a subscription box for women who are about to or are going through or have been through menopause. Which I actually would like to call womenopause. Is that okay?
That's totally fine.
Okay. So womenopause. And we're going to talk today about some of the cultural norms around womenopause between the United States and some other places and how we have really cool people like this in the world who are making it a gentler transition, a more enjoyable experience, and really giving us some good information on what womenopause is. So I think that I am going to learn a lot today. I'm very excited. I'm 41, so I'm in that range. And I do notice that things are changing. Maybe not that I'm quite in perimenopause, I'm not sure, but I do notice that things are a little different. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's really good for me to start understanding and having some awareness and start preparing my body properly.
Right.
So I'm really excited about that. I do talk in the water ceremony when we talk about the medicine wheel and the wheel of life, how, you know, in our common American culture, women aren't very excited to get older. But in most indigenous communities, this is what they live their whole life for. And so that they can finally sit in this special area of their life to become leaders, to become elders, and this is when they reach their true wisdom, is after they've gone through womenopause. And so in the United States, I think it's pretty typical that women just don't look forward to getting older.
No.
So I want to talk about that today. And obviously, this is all about how we can use these experiences in our life to redefine our beauty. And so without further ado, here is Shannon, and she's going to tell us all about Everybody. And first, I just want you to tell me about the mission for Everybody.
So our mission, first of all, thank you for having me. I love being here, and I love you, obviously, but we really appreciate it. So the mission for Everybody is to make the experience of menopause more enjoyable and more peaceful for women. And, you know, I screwed that up.
That's okay.
Hold on. What is our mission? Our mission is to change the way women feel about menopause in all aspects of their life. So with that, what we do at Everybody is not only we have the subscription box, and that's a box of discovery. So it's items that will make you feel happy or, you know, make your skin softer or, you know, address the sexual needs that happens. You know, vaginal dryness happens during menopause for some people. That's just an example, and then a variety of things. But we also want to educate you. We want to give you resources to empower you when you go to your doctor. We want to make you laugh and enjoy it. And we want to build a community so you have other women to lean on and share your story with. And that is everybody.
I love it. And just a little bit about you that I know. So you, when you're 50 now.
50, yep.
You look amazing.
Thank you.
And when you were 39, you were experiencing some things going on in your body, and you went to this really not very compassionate doctor who was basically like, oh yeah, you've gone through menopause.
Yeah, that's a fun story. So I was 39. I had some health problems a couple of years prior, and you and I have talked about that. And I was awake one night, and I was really, really, really warm, like to the point where I was, you know, some ladies know out there, what we refer to as a night sweats. And I go, what is this? This is not hungover. What could it possibly be? So I made an appointment with my doctor, and I said, fine. He's like, could I possibly be in menopause? And she goes, no, you're too young. Let's do a blood test. Sure enough, blood test came back. I'm not producing any hormones anymore. And I'm in shock. Like, I really can't think about it. I go, well, what do I do? She goes, here's a packet of birth control pills. Send me on my way. And there was no
Wait,
care.
Birth control pills after you've gone through menopause?
Yep.
For the hormones?
For the hormones, because we hadn't gone through the symptoms. And, you know, once I started just processing it all, like, I literally, all these things that were happening that I thought were my health related were actually the symptoms of menopause, like the achy joints, my hair thinning out. I had sudden weight gain. I was very, very edgy. I mean, there was just a list. My body odor was changing. My skin was getting drier. It was just, just a plethora. And when I went back to her to talk about it, particularly the weight gain, because that was the first on my mind. I'm 39, and suddenly I'm literally 10 pounds heavier than I was the month prior. And my doctor, she's an excellent doctor. She has maybe not the greatest bedside manner, and she's not a menopause doctor, right? I think we'll get more into that, but I really think there needs to be a specialist in menopause for the back half of your life. You don't need an OBGYN, you need a GYN now. Anyway, she said this to me, she goes, it's calories in, calories out. And I felt so ashamed, like I had done something to make this happen to me. And it was awful. And I tried to lean on friends, but they couldn't relate. I mean, I felt shunned, but they couldn't relate. I mean, it's not really their fault. They had no, you don't know, until you experience it, you really have no idea.
What was the analogy used earlier when we were talking, asking like a toddler what it's like?
Right. What it's like for a toddler to go through puberty. You have no idea.
Yeah.
It's very foreign to you. And it feels like that, like it's a completely different feeling in a person. So, you know, I dug down and researched and kind of tried to take control of my health and my well-being. And I did. And I turned things around and, you know, I took care of myself. Really, that's the message. I really took care of myself. Fast forward to, I think it was 49, or 47, my friends started going through menopause. And I would say, okay, try this, do this. Do this, do this. Talk to your doctor about this. This is what you need to ask for. These are the blood tests that you should be asking for. And then at 49, I met this woman, Kate Cusack, on vacation with a group of women friends. And as we do, as women do, we sit around and we pour a glass of wine and we start lamenting. And, you know, we talk. And I had this little dance I do. Magnesium is your friend, everybody. Magnesium is your friend. I started doing this little dance about magnesium, and we were, you know, just laughing, and Katie and I became quick friends, very fast friends. And we, you know, over the course of a few months, we decided to start everybody. We decided that this was enough, and, you know, women shouldn't have to search.
Everybody needs this.
Right. This is what we envision it, and what we're working towards is having that one-stop shop. So you don't have to go to 1,000 different websites and read 1,000 different books to get the answers you need and, you know, what you should be asking your doctor. So we're all in this together. It's all about community. It's all about being honest. I've told my story online, and I'm happy to share it with anybody in the hopes that other people will share their stories. So women, you know, who may be going through perimenopause now don't have to suffer in the same way. So they're prepared for it. And the women who are younger than, you know, perimenopause can prepare for it, can prepare their life. I think we were talking earlier that there should be a way that you know that you're going to go through perimenopause. It shouldn't be a shock and like one day you wake up and like, that's it, no preparation. And I also hope that we have some advocacy with everybody, that we get better healthcare and better answers and better support for women.
That sounds amazing.
We'll see. We're all in together.
So what I'm thinking would be really fantastic also too in this whole mission is to really support women in having this excited view of going through womenopause.
Yeah.
When I was doing just a tiny bit of research and looking up some of the indigenous tribes and some of the other cultures and how they look at it, a lot of the women in other cultures are really excited. They can become, I think, Aboriginal women can become clan leaders after they go through menopause. And in the Indian Ayurveda, this is the time in life where all your priorities shift. So now after womenopause, they get to focus completely on themselves. So their health and their vitality is their number one priority in life. I mean, that sounds kind of amazing to me.
That's the way it should be.
Yes.
And unfortunately, I think in the U.S., I mean, that's what we should want. It's not that. We are in the middle of our careers and our high earning years, and focusing on yourself is very challenging, I think, for a lot of people. And to hear that in other cultures, really, it should make us pause and say, not to play on words, but it should make us pause and think, like, that is, we have so much wisdom, we have so much life, we have so much energy and time to give. We're not reproducing anymore. We can focus on ourselves and our communities. And yes, that would be beautiful.
We've had in the, when we follow the medicine wheel, when we're, you know, new life forms in the direction of the East and in the South, we're children. This is the time we have to learn. And then in the West, we hold the space of a wisdom keeper as an elder. And that's what in many indigenous cultures, they spend their whole life learning, so that when they sit in that direction, they're able to carry on really good information and pass on really good wisdom to those coming behind them. And I feel like with this information and with sharing it and talking about it and talking to our listeners and making it something that's exciting to go through, how different it's going to be in our coming generations when they're spending that whole time being young, preparing to sit in that space of wisdom.
That would be, I mean, again, that would be amazing. And I think you can almost see just a little bit of a culture shift away from, you know, big advertising and marketing and telling us what we're supposed to be and what we're supposed to look like and what we're supposed to think and, you know, how to live or what our value is, as we, you know, a couple of commentators on some of the news stations, and they'll remain nameless, so we're not going to give them that power. We have tons of value. I mean, yeah. In every other culture, it's obviously well respected and valued, and the tribe or the community doesn't live without that.
It's so important. And it's so important to our coming generations. I would ask, what is your favorite thing that you experienced going through womenopause?
You asked that before. It's like, favorite? Huh. That was a hard one. But I think, you know, starting everybody, you know, I did when I went through menopause at 39, I was doing all that research, like, gosh, I would want to do something for women and be helpful with this. And that has come true. That thought has come true. And I think that's probably the best thing. The other thing is, you know, I don't care as much. I know we hear this a lot, like, I don't care. It's a lot because we can't remember everything anymore. We'll remember what's important eventually, but, you know, it's not usually at the tip of the tongue. But having a community of women where it's the relationships become different. And you value yourself, I think, a lot more than you used to. I think, and correct me if you, like, if you have a different opinion, let me know. But I think when you're younger, it's pick me, pick me. And when you're older, it's maybe I'll pick you. I'm going to take my time. I'm going to think about this because you're good with yourself. Eventually.
Yes. You know. I certainly hope so.
Eventually. I mean, don't get me wrong. There were a lot of times during this process where I felt very, very alone and not sexy, not wanted. Who's ever going to want me again? And those were ridiculous. I want me. Doesn't matter if somebody else does.
That's incredible. And that's what we really want all people to feel, is that sense of self-love and mm-hmm. be able to be full with that internal appreciation and gratitude and love, and then be able to redirect that outwards and also be able to be a space where you can receive that love.
Exactly.
Do you think that going through womanopause has helped you feel more beautiful?
Yeah, I think I've become very self-accepting of myself. I really have. I used to want to change the way I looked. And granted, don't get me wrong, she's well aware that I've done Botox and whatever else, but I wanted to change my body. I mean, we're inundated with all these images of what being feminine and being desirable looks like. And you like really have to fight against that. And now that I'm 50 years old, there's no way on God's green earth I'm changing my body. Like, I love my body.
That's amazing.
You know, and everyone should love their body, no matter what. You maybe eat right or exercise or what have you. Whatever makes you feel good, you should do.
We have natural alternatives. You don't have to manipulate your body and inject poisons and chemicals and cut yourself apart to have vitality and energy. Even if you do have a few lines of wrinkles, or maybe, you know, your body isn't the weight that you were when you were in your 20s,
right?
You can still radiate beauty through the experience and the love of yourself. And, you know, there's still amazing things if we follow these guidelines that they follow in the Ayurvedic culture, where your priority is yourself, mm-hmm. then you get to spend this time really loving and nurturing yourself and creating a natural sense of beauty with a line or a wrinkle here or there, or, you know, some gray hair or something like
right.
that.
Right. Right. Exactly. I mean, it's up to you how you look. That's, you define the beauty within yourself. Nobody gets to do that. And I think we give people way too much power. I forget what I was reading, you know, what's the ideal feminine body? And we, you know, every year, like Time Magazine or somebody puts that out there, like the spacing between your eyes and things like that. It's utterly ridiculous. You are feminine from being the fact that you are a woman. You know, women look like you. You are a woman. Period. End of story. Don't give people the power to redefine that for you.
We're redefining our own beauty.
I'll tell you exactly what that is. Don't, yeah. I mean, that's a big pet peeve of mine.
So fill us in a little bit on the process of menopause, the perimenopause, the menopause, and the postmenopause.
It's a great question because I think a lot of people are confused. I was confused. So perimenopause.
You were the leader of the pack. You had to teach everybody else.
There was a reason why I was put through menopause at 39. But, okay, so perimenopause is the time before your last period. So that can be from age 35. 35 is what they, you know, what doctors say, till whenever that is, to your last period. Menopause is from your last period for 12 months. If you don't have a period for 12 months a year, that's menopause, that process. After that is postmenopause.
Okay, so good. I'm glad we cleared that up. And I think that it's really important that people start preparing for the perimenopausal part sooner, because I think if we have more nutrition, more information, more awareness, we can tune into our bodies, mm-hmm. And we can give our bodies the things that it needs to go through the process of menopause, it's going to be a much more graceful process.
You know, that's it's a great point to pay attention to your health and well-being, the way your mind is working. I'll share this. In retrospect, I was probably going through perimenopause in my early 30s. I just wasn't aware of it. And I was really skinny without trying, because your hormones can get, you know, I probably have more testosterone or whatever it is that it makes you skinnier. But I also, my hair was not great. But I also at every period, I was depressed. So I would get such extreme emotions, and to the point where I was just crying every month.
For how long?
For like 3 or 4 days.
Okay.
But they were extreme. And then I'm fine. Then I'm just like I am now. That's a really big sign that something is off.
Okay.
There's something off with your hormones. But since we don't test hormones, and doctors will push back, your hormones fluctuate all month long. Listen, I don't know if I'm right or not, but I would think if you're testing hormones on a regular basis that there is some sort of baseline somewhere. I mean, there probably isn't, just because of, you know, pregnancy and, or, you know, reproduction in your 20s, you're like in your 30s, it starts to taper off. But there's got to be a way that we can just test it so women don't have to just, you know, guess.
Surprise.
Yeah.
Do you wish you had been more prepared?
Yes.
Okay.
And I wish I was more prepared on a variety of things. It was mentally very, very hard for me to accept that I was never going to have a baby. And, you know, you hear of all these people are like, I had a baby at 38, 39, which I lived in New York City. So it was, that would have been normal. Mm-hmm. So that was really, really hard for me. And just the other aspects of it, I wish I was better prepared for it.
What can women do to prepare?
Well, they can have conversations with their doctor. They, you know, if you want to have a baby, I think those honest conversations and what kind of testing can we do and how am I able to have one naturally? Do I have to have IVF? Should I freeze my eggs? Whatever your choice is, but know your choices. And just take better care of yourself. I think we drive ourselves into the ground trying to do so much and not taking that rest and taking care of our bodies. Women are between a rock and a hard place, in my opinion. You know, yes, we have equal rights and that's wonderful. And, you know, I'm in business. So obviously, I mean, I like that, and I'm divorced, and, you know, yeah, that worked for me. But that do everything attitude all the time is very taxing, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Yes. On our nervous system.
Yes.
On our energies.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so looking forward to womenopause now, because now I want my main priority to be all about self-care and rejuvenation. That sounds amazing to me.
Well, if you have the symptom of exhaustion, you're going to have no choice.
Yeah.
You can't get out of bed.
I think a lot of women do. I think a lot of women are pretty chronically exhausted, and, you know, like families, dinners, taking care of the house, you know, taking care of themselves kind of can get left behind. They're taking care of their, you know, partner, they're working.
Yeah.
And it's a very busy lifestyle. And so I think that if we can focus on that priority of our self-care and our health and that rejuvenation before we go through the process, then we're really empowering the experience of femininity.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think the whole idea of, you know, being a queen or a queendom, whatever everybody is saying right now, that sounds like that's what that is to me, is, you know, sitting in that seat of wisdom, really realizing that we've gone through the whole early stages of our life and the middle stage of our life to where we've learned all the lessons. And maybe not all of them, but we've learned a lot. We've
right.
taken in this wisdom. We can be this compassionate, wise grandmother, elder, however you want to call it. And it's not necessarily specific to a lineage that we created, like our actual children or grandchildren, but we have the space to become this leader, this woman who can show compassion to the community and teach these really important lessons of things that are important and reconnect us back also to a lot of our roots, the femininity of taking care of nature and that we are nature. So I think that this has been a really empowering conversation for me, just to change the mindset and to shift the thought in my mind about going through this process, because I think it's just a daunting thing in the collective conscience of women in my area. Mm-hmm. You know, women are just not excited about getting older, and they're not excited about going through menopause or womanopause.
Right.
That's what I call it.
Well, I think if we can change the stigma that it's a value rather than invaluable,
yes,
then, you know, that changes the whole dynamic for people. Everyone wants to feel like they're needed and wanted and included.
Yes.
And if you take that away because you want to sell product or you want to, you know, whatever it is you want to do, it's very detrimental.
I have this desire to have gray hair so bad.
All right, I'm going to push back. It's not that fun.
I can't wait. I feel like I'm going to love having gray hair. I'm like the only one. I don't have one yet. I'm like waiting. Every time I get my locks worked on, I always ask my hair girl, do I have any? Never any. And,
do I have any gray hair? I would love to switch places with you. Now an every 2 week process.
I'm really excited about it.
I'm happy for you.
Thank you. I haven't gotten there yet. We'll see, but I'm really excited. I feel a sense of excitement about stepping into that part of my life. And
I love that.
Yeah.
Everybody should feel that way. Everybody and everybody.
Everybody.
By the way, I want to talk about like products. Products are great and they make you feel good and they're beautiful things to treat yourself and to care for yourself.
Yes.
You know, you should do whatever you feel is necessary for you to feel good, to feel empowered, to feel lovely, to feel whatever it is you want to feel.
And that's what I talk about with my clients. You know, if you want to obviously I support a very natural, clean lifestyle, mm-hmm. and I support the process of, you know, being a graceful expression of how you look and, you know, appropriate to your age. And I say, you know, for some women, I don't have an issue. Like if someone wants to get Botox or they want to get fillers or facelift, that's totally fine. I support everybody's idea of what makes them feel beautiful. My issue when I worked in the plastic surgery industry was that so many men and women didn't really want to get those things done. They innately just didn't feel comfortable with putting certain things in their body or having surgery and things like that. They didn't feel like they had another option to either feel beautiful or for some of them to look beautiful, because they were working in careers where it was important for them to stay relevant looking.
Right.
And so for me, it's really, I support anybody. If you want to have, you know, dye your hair, if you want to have gray hair, anything that you want to do to your body that really allows you to feel in your own power and in your own beauty, that is fantastic. For me, it's really just supporting people and having the option to have gray hair and feel beautiful, the option to have some lines of wrinkles and feel mm-hmm. beautiful, the option to carry weight different than what the average, you know, Vogue cover model is going right. to look like and feel beautiful and things like that.
I agree. Again, circling back, beauty is your definition. It shouldn't be anybody else's.
So if you had one piece of advice that you would pass along to coming generations of people, men or women, that want to redefine beauty, what would you say you would leave with them?
Well, I would leave them with, you define your own beauty. Don't let somebody else define your beauty. Don't let magazines define your beauty. Don't let anyone tell you that you're beautiful or not beautiful. It's the way you feel about yourself. The way you go about life is with yourself. Everyone else is a bonus, but you are with you forever. Mm-hmm. So love yourself.
I think that's incredible. I really appreciate that. And do you think that going through womanopause helped you learn that?
Yes.
Okay.
I do. Not only could I not remember anything else, have anxiety over the way I look or forget, you know, those makeup mirrors. It did, because I just feel more comfortable in my body now. Now that I'm post-menopause and I have a pretty good handle on it, and just full disclosure, everyone, I'm on HRT and I have been for 10 years. My body is very settled in itself and it's functioning beautifully, and I'm able to do what I want to do and enjoy my life. And I like the way I look, and I like the way I relate to people, and I like the way people relate to me too. But first and foremost, I'm comfortable with me.
But you feel healthy, you feel happy, you feel beautiful. I think that's so important.
Yes. Yes. I think the older you get, you know, and I make a joke about forgetting, but you do forget, and you forget to care about what other people's opinions are, and you don't. I mean, in one ear out the other, if I can hear you or I can see you, I mean, like, mazel. But like, you know, it's all about you. And I think the older you get, the more you realize that. I'm not saying there's not going to be any rough patches at all. Of course there is. That's just life. Emotions, rough patches, tough times. But, you know, take care of yourself and just remind yourself every day that you're beautiful. You are whoever you want to be.
I love that. Now, did you try other things before you went on the HRT? Did you try different natural herbs and supplements and things like that?
How was that experience? I tried everything under the sun.
Okay.
Because my symptoms were so vast and I found it impossible to get out of bed, I would be in bed for 9 to 12 hours. And usually I'm a 5 to 6 hour sleeper tops. And because I was so young, that every doctor I went to see, I found some, you know, herbalists, and I found this. But the herbalists they're wanting to do like phytoestrogens, which is great and fine. Except I wasn't making any more estrogen, so there's nothing to attach it to. Because I was 39, your risk of heart attack and stroke apparently go up by 50%. So it was important to me, and Alzheimer's, there's a big risk for Alzheimer's too. It was just important to me from a health perspective to try HRT, and it worked out for me, and it's been fine. And, you know, we'll see what the future holds. I see no less than 3 doctors just to get different opinions. Mm-hmm. You know, 1 holistic, 1 medical, and 1 menopause specialist. I like to be informed to, you know, make my own decisions on that. I may try something else later, but if I need it, if I don't need it, then no worries there.
Well, you're rocking it now.
Yeah, I feel great.
So tell me, where can people find the subscription for Everybody?
You can go to our website at everybetty.com. You can find us on Instagram, Hi Everybody. Wave hi to us. We love it. We're on Facebook and Pinterest.
And that's Hi Everybody or Everybody on Facebook and Pinterest?
It is Everybody on Facebook and Pinterest.
Okay, perfect. That's great. I love it. I'm so excited. And how often do the boxes come out?
Oh, the boxes come out every quarter. So it's a box, a discovery box. We also have an online marketplace, and we have in our blogs just specific suggestions for product if you're looking for something very specific.
Okay. And are we going to see Nourish in any of the
boxes? Absolutely. Okay. Which is what we're going to talk about next, because we have box number 2 coming.
Yes.
We did sell out of the first box, which is
amazing.
Incredible. Thank you. And box number 2, we have to have Nourish. I actually want a whole, eventually as it grows, I want a whole, you know, just holistic part of it. Because we not only do have people who choose that route, very clean beauty, but we also have women who have experienced menopause forced menopause, meaning that they've gone through cancer or a hysterectomy or something that's happened, that they really need to keep their environment clean.
It's important. Great. Well, I will support you. We can teach
you.
All your beautiful goddesses how to really nourish and take care of the skin only with plants.
I'm excited for that.
Great. Me
too. I'm excited for that video.
Let's do it.
Show me how to do it.
All right. I got you. Well, thank you so much for coming. It's such a nice time just to learn a little bit more about this. And I feel really excited. I'm ready. I'm ready to prepare, to honor myself, to love myself. And I'm excited for the next box.
I'm excited for you.
Yay.
Her diet's already, your diet's very, very clean.
Yes.
No worries there. Thank you again for having me. I appreciate it.
Yes. Thank you so much. And thanks everyone for watching or listening. And we hope you have an organically beautiful day.